Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Thursday, September 29th. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air on the Feast of the Archangels, St. Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's good to be with you first thing in the morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. This morning, we continue monitoring Hurricane Ian, now a tropical storm. It has devastated the southwestern coast of Florida with more than 2.5 million Floridians without power as we speak. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on Wednesday provided an update on Hurricane Ian hours after it made landfall in southwest Florida as a Category 4 storm.
As this storm passes your community, understand it's still a very hazardous situation. You're going to have down power lines. You're going to have a possibility of harm's way because of standing water, misuse of generators. I asked the Department of Emergency Management, Kevin, to produce for me the rundown of the fatalities through direct impacts of storms versus the aftermath. And in Hurricane Irma, there were 7 fatalities directly because of the storm, and there were 77 that were a result of post-storm. And a lot of it is standing water, down power lines, misuse of generators. So please just take precaution. Obviously a ferocious storm coming in, very hazardous, very ominous. We know the life-threatening nature of that. But once the storm goes, once there is apparent calm, there are still plenty of hazards out there. So just please make sure that you're taking the proper precautions.
Want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what is the latest this hour here this morning with now a tropical storm, Ian?
Well, it has been downgraded to a tropical storm, John. It's off to the southeast of Orlando after dumping a ton of rain there, another 4 inches or so expected today. But the storm came ashore as an almost Category 5 with 155-mile-an-hour winds just barely to the west of Fort Myers yesterday. I'm sure many saw the pictures all throughout the course of the day yesterday, just wreaking havoc on the southwest coast of Florida, dropping a bunch of rain through the center of the state, and the storm surge very high. We saw pictures of a fire station in Naples being inundated with a 5 to 7 foot surge there, water overtopping the island of Sanibel and the Fort Myers beach area as well, and pushing far inland along some of the rivers along there as well. The unusual situation of parts of Tampa Bay being dry as the water was kind of sucked out before it came back in as part of the pressure and wind with the hurricane system, and one of the biggest ever to hit not only Florida but the U.S. in terms of wind speed.
Glenn, the images were just unbelievable. You know, I've been to Naples. I've seen that town right there by the ocean, and to see the downtown just flooded, looked like rivers. To see the firehouses with water up to their waist, it's just unbelievable. We have to remember the words of Governor DeSantis. You know, so much of the issues are in the aftermath. You know, with people getting electrocuted, people running into all kinds of problems after the storm has hit. So there's still a lot to be concerned about here as we go forward. Of course, this storm is expected to re-strengthen during this day, and there's still a ton more rain and more flooding to deal with.
Yeah, it could pick up a little steam as the remnants of it head out over the Atlantic and take a turn north for the South Carolina coast. And so still a lot of rain for people in the Carolinas to deal with in the next couple of days, too.
I have a few friends that live down in Florida. One of my best friends lives in Naples. I tried calling him yesterday. Nobody's answering. So it's very tough. A lot of people don't have, you know, their phones aren't working. They don't have power. We have to keep all those folks in our prayers, as we've been doing here for the last couple of days.
Yeah, with those types of winds, even many cell towers being physically damaged as well, and so that can be part of it. So we need to be patient as we check on those friends and family down there.
Absolutely. The other big story to sports fans and baseball fans like you and I, in Toronto last night, Yankees slugger Aaron Judge finally did it. He tied Roger Maris with his 61st home run, as heard on ESPN Sports.
And the 3-2. Throw deep to left field. This could be it. See ya. He's done it. Number 61. He's been chasing history, and now he makes it. He and Roger Maris are tied with 61 home runs, the most anybody has ever hit in a single season in American League history.
What a call and what a moment, a special moment in baseball history, something I know that you can appreciate, Glenn.
Absolutely, and for him, he looked a bit relieved, and now the chase is on with 8 games left to break that record and hit number 62. But part of the fun, just Roger Maris' son, as well as his mom, traveling with the team and seeing all the games. I watched diligently when I had the chance the night before, and to no avail, but nice to see the highlights of that game in Toronto last night. So Aaron Judge and, of course, the Yankees powering their way into the playoffs, once again clinching on Tuesday night, clinching the American League East once again. So now the chase is on, John, for number 62.
You know, it's funny because I was thinking about that, Glenn, that his mom was there in the studio, in the stadium there when he hit that. And, man, what a proud moment as a mom to see your son reach that. But at the same time, I was thinking, like, did he get a choice? Did he get to only pick one family member to come? Did he pick mom over dad? Wow, okay. So it'd be interesting to see what the dynamic was there.
A special, you know,
all the players on film say hi to their mom all the time. We want more love for the dads.
Yeah, about the dad? He didn't get to. Maybe the next game he can come to.
Well, we'll definitely be keeping an eye over the rest of this regular season. As you said, I believe it's 7 games left to go to see if Aaron Judge breaks the record. So it helped us to take our minds off of the devastation in South Florida, but it's something that we continue to pray for. As always, thanks, Glenn and Sarah. We start in prayer, and we're going to pray the powerful memorial prayer this morning for the protection of all the lives of all the people involved in this Hurricane Ian, now a Tropical Storm Ian. Everybody in the path of the hurricane, we always pray through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of virgins, my mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. On Thursdays, we always remind you to remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday by our Lord Jesus Christ. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Revelation 12:7. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon and his angels fought, but they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. Saint Michael the Archangel and his angels battled Satan and his demons. They overpowered him and drove him away. Saint Michael stands as our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. Satan has been defeated, but he's still trying to exact more casualties upon us, the children of the kingdom of God. We must regularly invoke the angels, especially the archangels, in spiritual warfare. And we pray, Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. And with great confidence, we also pray, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. You can find us on Twitter, at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. You can always send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, as Florida deals with the devastation of Hurricane Ian, keep in mind that just 11 days earlier, Hurricane Fiona made landfall in Puerto Rico on September 18th. Hurricane Fiona managed to knock out the island's fragile electrical grid. It arrived as a Category 1 storm at a time when Puerto Ricans were marking the 33rd anniversary of Hurricane Hugo and the 5th anniversary of Hurricane Maria. As the PBS NewsHour reported a few days after it hit.
People in Puerto Rico continue to struggle in the aftermath of Hurricane Fiona. Power outages are widespread, flooding washed out roads and toppled homes, and residents are frustrated and scared. We heard from people on different sides of the island about how they're coping.
On the southwest side of the island, banana trees snapped in half. A mangrove forest near Hojuda, where Jeanette Ramos Garcia lives with her granddaughter Italia, couldn't absorb water fast enough to protect the area from flooding.
When the water came in, it had nowhere to go, so it built up in this area to the point where the water here could easily have been 4 feet, running into the neighborhood and out onto the road. A road that had never been flooded in its life, this time it did flood. It is very sad to see hardworking people who've lost their homes, who've lost their belongings. They tell me that no one from the government has come to give them any kind of help, and it's been several days.
Joining us live from San Juan, Puerto Rico, is Morning Air contributor, theologian Dr. Hector Marquez, to talk about the aftermath of Hurricane Fiona in Puerto Rico and to talk about trusting in God's providence despite adversity. Dr. Marquez holds graduate degrees in law and theology. He's an adjunct professor of theology and religious studies at the Universidad Central de Bayamón. Dr. Marquez is also a lay Dominican and currently serves as master of formation for the Dominican lay of Puerto Rico. Good morning, Dr. Marquez. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you once again from San Juan.
Good morning, John, and good morning to all the audience. I'm very glad to be with you this morning again.
Well, Dr. Marquez, first of all, yeah, you've been in my thoughts and prayers. How are you? Can you tell us about how Fiona hit and what was it like? And how are you doing?
Oh, well, we're doing pretty well, thank God. But the problem with Fiona was not necessarily the wind. It was the unusual and record amount of rainfall. We had more rainfall in Fiona than we had in Maria and that we had in Hugo. To give you an example, there are some areas in Puerto Rico that received 30 inches of rain in one day.
Wow.
That is what caused the most damage. That was very damaging, caused a lot of flooding. Roads were simply washed out. Bridges were simply collapsed and taken away by the overflooded rivers at unprecedented levels. And that caused the failure of our fragile electrical grid, which is very old. And although it's being restored, it was started restoration shortly after Maria. But there's still a lot of work to be done. But however, we are fortunate because at this precise moment, I can tell you that over 80% of electricity has been restored in the island. That is about 1.2 million accounts out of a total of 1.5. However, the hardest hit part was the part that got the rain and the wind, which was the southwest part of the island. And that accounts for about a little less than 20% of the electricity of the accounts. So that's where we're most weak right now. But the metro area is almost 100% powered. And to give you an example, the hardest hit parts are the south and the west, where about 50% of the people are still without power.
Well, Dr. Marquez, there's no doubt that the spirit of the Puerto Rican people is very strong. It had to be just incredible that you would be hit with another hurricane almost to the day, 5 years after Maria.
Oh, yes. That was, you know, it brought back many memories. And, of course, people, the memory of Maria is still very vivid in people's minds. So it was a very difficult time for many people, especially when they started seeing their homes destroyed and flooded, especially, you know, whole neighborhoods covered above the roofs of the houses with water, and the cars being driven by the current, and it was a very, very devastating city. It was a catastrophic event, as a matter of fact, and FEMA has declared the island as a catastrophic area. So help is coming in. You know, FEMA has its bureaucracy, and sometimes it's very slow in coming. That is helps to people who lost everything. But the local government, and especially the municipal governments, was the first responders, and they have stepped in, and things are slowly beginning to get back to normal, work hours, you know, and except for those areas that are still without power, things are slower getting into normal. But I believe I can tell you that 11 days after the event, I can say that we are almost back to normal.
Praise the Lord. Dr. Marquez, I know the Catholic faith is very strong in Puerto Rico. It's an island. It has beautiful churches, many of them that go back centuries to the time of the Spanish settlement, some of them. What's the state of the Catholic churches in Puerto Rico?
Well, most of the temples did not suffer practically any damage because most of them are in high areas, and since there was no wind, but just, you know, the excessive rainfall, as a matter of fact, churches were open the day after Fiona. For example, in my parish, we held the service under the stars because there was no power, and it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing because all the congregation was there, and the priest made an improvised altar in the atrium of the church, in front of the church, and we celebrated. First, we had adoration, and then we celebrated the Eucharist under the stars the day after the hurricane. So and people are so confident in the power of God to help us see us through this event as it has done before. So, as a matter of fact, as you know, our patroness is the Virgin Mother of the Divine Providence. So we are most confident that God always provides and helps us through difficult times, like he did with the apostles when he calmed the storm at sea.
Well, Dr. Marquez, the people of Puerto Rico obviously have experienced these catastrophes many times before. Can you talk a little bit about trusting in God's providence? As you mentioned, your patron is the Virgin of Divine Providence. Can you talk about the importance of that trust that we must have, especially in difficult times like a hurricane, like what the people in Florida are dealing with as we speak?
Yes, and as you said, the Puerto Rican people are very religious people, and the Catholic faith is very important for us. And I was very impressed when the first people were interviewed. They talked about their losses, but they all shared one thought, and that is they thanked God for their lives and for whatever they had. And they were all confident in the providence of God that they would get back on their feet. Same thing this morning. I'm up since early this morning, and I was listening to the Miami TV. I was watching the Miami TV stations where they were interviewing people, and there was a common especially they were interviewing, of course, Hispanics. I was watching Telemundo, and all of them praised God for sparing their lives, for keeping them safe, and for trusting always that God provides for his children. That is the trust in the divine providence. And, of course, you and I share a special quote from Romans 8:28. God, you know, disposes of everything for those who love him.
Absolutely. That's a powerful verse. It's a tremendous reminder for all of us, Romans 8:28. Nothing, absolutely nothing happens in the world, in this universe, without God either willing it or allowing it to happen. And this is the kind of trust that we have to have in divine providence. No matter what happens, the Lord is with us always.
That is correct, John.
Do you have any final words of encouragement for some of the folks? So many people, 2.5 million people without power in the state of Florida as we speak right now, suffering from the aftermath of Hurricane Ian, now a tropical storm.
The best I can say for them is that they have to trust in the divine providence. This is not the end of it. On the contrary, for those who put their trust in God, everything is possible, and recovery will be possible. And after the aftermath will help us reconstruct in a better way than we were before. That is something that I've always seen all throughout my life, that God always provides. And when he allows something like this to happen, it's because something better is going to come after that.
And let's never forget to invoke our mother, the mother of God in Puerto Rico, known as the patron virgin of divine providence. Thank you much, Dr. Marquez, for being with us this morning on Morning Air. I'm so glad that you're okay and that you are recovering.
Thank you. Thank you, John, and thank you to all our audience, and God bless all.
Que Dios te bendiga. Dr. Hector Marquez, adjunct professor of theology and religious studies at the Universidad Central de Bayamón in Puerto Rico. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Father Wolfgang Seitz will talk about a new movie, St. Michael Meet the Angel, in theaters today only on this feast of the Archangels St. Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. So stay with us on this Thursday as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Looking at life from a Catholic worldview.
This is Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverett.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, today, the Catholic Church is celebrating the Feast of the Archangels, Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, the three angels named in Scripture who have been venerated throughout the history of the Church. Saint Michael defends the friends of God against Satan and all the evil angels. Saint Gabriel announced to our Blessed Mother Mary the mystery of the Incarnation. And Saint Raphael, according to Scripture, is one of the seven spirits who stand before God. He took care of Tobias on his journey. Listen to the trailer for a new documentary movie on St. Michael the Archangel called St. Michael Meet the Angel.
The life of a Christian on earth is a struggle, a fight. We are threatened by various dangers.
It was the evil that crushed me, which never allowed me to be truly free.
Saint Michael is the breath of the Holy Spirit who will defeat the Antichrist and all evil spirits. Well, after the Holy Trinity of Mary, Saint Michael is the most powerful being of God. Tell everyone that I grant all graces, that I have great power as the one who stands before God.
A happy nation in which Saint Michael the Archangel is venerated.
Here, one comes to seek answers to the question of the meaning of our life. It is worth knowing that on this path, we have a discreet companion.
Saint Michael, meet the angel. In select movie theaters only on September 29th.
Powerful movie, powerful trailer. Saint Michael, Meet the Angel is in 1,100 theaters nationwide today and only on this day, on the feast day of the Archangels. Joining us live is Father Wolfgang Seitz to talk about angels and archangels, as well as this new movie, St. Michael Meet the Angel. Father Wolfgang Seitz is a member of the Order of Canons Regular of the Holy Cross, an international order which has its mother house in Austria. He's also the superior of the community in Detroit and the national director of Opus Angelorum. Good morning, Father Wolfgang. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again.
Good morning, John, and good morning, all the listeners.
Father Wolfgang, in the traditional calendar, today was St. Michael's feast day, with St. Gabriel being celebrated on March 24th, the day before the Annunciation, and St. Raphael's being celebrated on October 24th. Do you know why the feast changed in the post-Vatican II calendar?
Yeah, it was a radical reform. At one time, for example, in the Eastern Church, they had even 17 feasts or liturgical feasts in honor of St. Michael alone. So, and they simply wanted to, clean up or to consolidate the calendar. And whether it was good or not, I'm not the one to judge this. And I would have loved to have all the three feasts still, of course. We are very devoted to holy angels, but it's a decision of the church, and they simply wanted to consolidate in some way the new calendar.
Well, you could say we have a trifecta today, as we're going to celebrate all three, St. Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. Let's talk about each one a little bit at a time. Can you remind us why we go to St. Michael to ask him to defend us in battle?
First, it's actually the feast of all the angels. So in the liturgical text, so the collect and so on, it refers always to all the holy angels. But of course, we know the three by name, and the title is of the three archangels. That's the feast, the title of the feast. But coming back to your question, St. Michael, we rely on him especially in the spiritual warfare, because in the beginning, when God had created the angels and matter, man was created later, God also already revealed to the angels his plan to create mankind. And we find this in Revelation chapter 12, this great sign that appeared in the sky, and sky heavens is often a sign for the angels. So you can interpret it, God in the beginning revealed to the angels that he would create humanity, and the church fathers, some of the church fathers tradition also interprets the woman and the child to be signifying the mystery of the incarnation, not only the mystery of the incarnation, but also humanity as a whole, and also then the domestic family. So simply the whole reality of humanity, God will create another creature, personal beings in the image and likeness of God. And God would not become an angel, but he would become a human being. He would pass over the angels, who by nature are so much higher than we. And this was really an affront for the angels. This was a humiliation for the angels, because for the angels it meant they have to adore God in human form. And because the incarnation ennobles our humanity so much, now also they have to serve us. And that's the ultimate reason why basically every angel is called to be once, at least once, a guardian angel to a human being. It's always this emptying, going down into this world of humanity. We are loaded by sin, burdened by sin, and nevertheless, the angels, in imitation of Christ, who emptied himself, became man, Now the angels also need to humble themselves, empty themselves to serve us. This goes fast the same. So this is the background why God chose this plan. And St. Michael was the one who then defended the woman and the child against Lucifer and his minions. So this is the original battle. Michael with his holy angels against Lucifer and his angels. And this now is like an icon. It's like a principle that goes till the end of the world. It will always be St. Michael who goes ahead. He's the angel of faith, like the Blessed Mother is the mother of faith. He will always be the one who goes ahead in order to defend mankind against the onslaughts of the devil.
And Father Wolfgang, not only do we learn from the early church fathers, but also their teaching is based on sacred scripture. The book of Revelation in chapter 12 talks about this war arising in heaven and Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And it tells this in sacred scripture.
Correctly. This is what I was just referring to. There was first this great sign. So the angels were confronted with this great sign. God's plan to create mankind, mystery of the incarnation, and then every angel had to make his own personal decision whether they would accept God's plan and they would humbly submit or they would oppose. And then Lucifer, when he decided, when he rebelled, when he said, I do not serve, non serviam, that's when he became, so to say, this red great dragon with seven horns who opposed this great sign. And then now if these two sides, we have the angels of light with Saint Michael, and if the other side, the angel of darkness, Lucifer, and now they clash. So the world of the angels, the world of light, and the world of darkness of the angels, now they clash, and this war broke out in heaven.
And Father Wolfgang, recently we have been seeing more and more folks in parishes across the country praying the St. Michael the Archangel prayer after Mass. Do you think that this prayer is needed more now than ever?
Yeah, absolutely. And even it was now abolished after the, you know, with the new liturgical reform, John Paul II, he pointed out that even it is not obligatory anymore to pray this prayer after low mass, so that's a traditional mass, he still encourages everybody to frequently pray this prayer. So I always, when I go out, we pray three times, the Angelus, morning, then midday and evening, and I encourage people because almost nobody is praying the St. Michael prayer. Pray it three times, also in the morning, midday and evening. And not for those who do not pray it.
Father, what are a few of the key elements of that prayer that make it so powerful?
Yeah, it relies on scripture. So St. Mark the Archangel, defend us in battle, bear protection against the wickedness and the snares of the devil. It's simply, it's all the design of God. It was St. Michael who was sent, designed, assigned by God to defeat the evil one. And when we pray this prayer, it's really now an act of trust and entrustment that we trust St. Michael. And with this act of faith and openness, we open now the gates of our own lives and the gates to this world for the angel Michael now to actively intervene. The power of the angels, how they can intervene in our human affairs, depends completely on our openness. So why do we pray? Because our Lord says, pray and ask and it will be heard. Knock and it will be opened. So we need to pray. We need to appeal. We need to ask. We need to desire. And according to our desires, to our prayers, God and the angels will answer our petitions. But we cannot just remain passive. So therefore, it's so important that we pray and we put all our heart in. We pray with all our being, with all our strength. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle and so on. And then we open the doors of our own hearts, the doors of this world, for the intervention of St. Michael in our lives.
888-914-9149 is our number if you want to be part of the conversation. Rachel is joining us this morning from Tinley Park, Illinois. Good morning, Rachel. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Father Wolfgang.
Good morning. I was just calling about the St. Michael movie that is appearing tonight. We're very excited to see it.
Awesome, awesome news. It's showing in 1,100-plus theaters across the country only on this day. We're going to talk more about it in a moment after the break, but it's great news to hear. What inspired you to want to go see the movie, Rachel?
I think we need St. Michael more now than ever with everything that's going on in the world.
Amen to that. Father Wolfgang, any thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely, because as I said in the beginning, God could have destroyed the devil by an act of his will, but he chose to send the angels because God wants to involve the angels in the work of redemption as he wants to involve us. So he sends, there will always be, God will always send the angels to defend mankind. And therefore it's important for us to adore God, of course, with the angels, but then it's God's will that we pray to these heavenly powers for our defense.
Thanks so much for joining us, Rachel. And folks, just remember that this movie, St. Michael, Meet the Angel, is showing only today, only on this day. It's the only opportunity to see it. And of course, we're going to talk about it more in a moment after the break. I want to invite our listeners, if you have a special devotion to the guardian angels or to St. Michael the Archangel or the other archangels, Gabriel and Raphael, we'd love to hear from you. If you plan on seeing the movie today, we'd also love for you to chime in, St. Michael, Meet the Angel. Our number, we're taking your calls for Father Wolfgang Seitz, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our conversation with Father Wolfgang Seitz. Stay with us. There's more to come on Morning Air after this. And welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning on this feast day of the Archangels, St. Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. It's a special day. There's a big movie that is premiering today across our country in 1,100-plus theaters. St. Michael, Meet the Angel. As we continue our conversation with Father Wolfgang Seitz, the National Director of Opus Angelorum. We'll be back to Father Wolfgang in just a moment, but I just want to give you a quick reminder in case you haven't had a chance to do so, or perhaps you haven't even heard about Patrick Madrid's new book. If you'd like a free copy of Patrick's new book, Inquisition, with the accent on the quiz, this is your last chance. Get yours before they're all gone. They've been going so fast at relevantradio.com/quiz. Test your knowledge of the Catholic faith and have fun quizzing your family and your friends. You can get a free copy of Inquisition this morning before it's too late. There's no shipping or handling charges. The book is 100% totally, absolutely free. Don't miss out. Sign up this morning at relevantradio.com/quiz. That's relevantradio.com/quiz. Father Wolfgang, welcome back.
Hello. I'm glad to be back.
Father, tell us about this new documentary movie about St. Michael the Archangel that is showing in theaters across our country only on this day. It's just today only, September 29th today, on the Feast of the Archangels. I know that you were involved in this movie. Tell us about St. Michael, Meet the Angel.
Yeah, I didn't see now the English version. The original version is Polish, but it's now there's an English version, of course. And I was very impressed by how it was done, with all the monumental buildings that simply give witness to the veneration tradition of devotion to Saint Michael all over the world, all, especially in Europe, in France, in Italy, Monte Gargano especially. Then also the saints are mentioned, like Father Pio. He just lived 45 minutes away. He would, for example, send his non-so-repentant penitents to St. Michael to ask him to receive the gift of true repentance and so on. And he was a very great devotee of the angel in general and of St. Michael. And so there are bishops in, there are priests in who give testimony of their experience. And it was very impressive for me But as I said, I didn't see the English version yet, but I would encourage everybody to go to the movie. It is inspiring because we need the angels more than ever. The battle we are in, we are not battling with arrow and bullets, but we are battling against the powers of darkness. It's a spiritual battle. And in this spiritual battle, the angels are at our side. And one reason, I believe, why the world is going more and more down into darkness, the church is also in a crisis. One reason, it's not the only reason, but one reason is certainly we lost this connection with the supernatural powers of the holy angels who really connect us to God. They help us in prayer, they enlighten our intellect, they direct our whole being to God, and they then can really help us and defend not only us, but even the entire creation we speak about, today, the environment. But this is all under the government of the angels. And the more we live our life in union with God, the Blessed Mother, and the angels, the more the angels can take care not only of us human beings against the evil powers, but also against the evil powers. They can also take care of creation, because even the evil powers have still some influence on creation, on the physical creation. And it depends very much on us, as I mentioned already in the former segment. When we are open to God and the angels, then they can intervene actively in this world, as Paul VI pointed out.
Father Wolfgang, what are some of the takeaways from this movie, St. Michael, Meet the Angel? What can our audiences experience? What can they learn from the movie?
First of all, how the church traditionally was guided by the development of the devotion of St. Michael. Then several monuments and shrines of St. Michael, miracles he worked, for example, in Monte Gargano. The angel even consecrated a church. It's actually a cave that gives place to 500 people. It's even recognized today by the church that this was consecrated by St. Michael. It's called the Celestial Basilica. And simply by offering all these facts and also some devotional aspects, you are really inspired now to seek more this holy angel and to know him better and to deepen your devotion and your faith in him.
I know that in the English version of the movie, St. Michael, Meet the Angel, you at the end of the movie talk about the importance of consecration, consecrating ourselves to the holy angels. Can you share a little bit about that?
It is important really for us to know what the angels are doing in our lives. In the Congregation of St. Thomas Aquinas, the angels collaborate in all our good works. That means whenever we want to grow in merit, in union with God, sanctifying grace, want to do the will of God, in all of this, the angels collaborate. In all these acts, because they're supernatural nature, we need absolutely the divine assistance, Thomas Aquinas points out. And this divine assistance is given to us by the angels. And then he concludes, for this reason, the angels take part in all our good works. In other words, you cannot grow in the knowledge of faith. For example, when somebody sits in the pew and meditates on the mystery of the Eucharist, it gets a deeper insight about the real presence of our Lord in the Eucharist. Then these are normally the angels who give this light to the mind and to the heart, and also give us the capacity then to embrace this mystery, this new knowledge, this deeper knowledge about the Eucharist. So all these things, therefore, we have a personal guardian angel. So all this enlightenment, this ministry of enlightenment, God has entrusted to the angels. Therefore, Augustine says, the angels were created on the first day when God spoke, let there be light. And that's the primary ministry of the angels taught, not only us human beings, taught the whole creation. They are light. Light relates to the intellect, to knowledge, to loving knowledge, not just simple knowledge. It's really wisdom. And this is what the angels want to impart on us, this wisdom. And God designed that he would give this knowledge of divine truth to John of the Cross, Francis Sales. They point out the same reality. This light comes to us ordinarily through the angels. And then, of course, the strengthening. Jesus was strengthened by an angel in the garden. So all these actual graces, this help that bring us on the path towards God, are given to us ordinarily by the angels. And without them, if we would reject the angels' help, we would be without grace.
I want to remind our listeners this morning that you can watch the movie only on this day, on the feast day of the Archangels, in 1,100 theaters across our nation. St. Michael, Meet the Angel is the name of the film. You can go to stmichaelmovie.com, stmichaelmovie.com for tickets and locations. A final thought on this day in which we honor the Archangels, and the importance of this day for us as Catholics, Father?
Yeah, the angels always serve God. The angels serve, for example, the angel Gabriel, he served the incarnation. They're always God's servants. They don't want to be in the center, but their whole being they employ to lead us back to God. And God has given us a personal guardian angel from all eternity. God had already me and my angel, you and your angel in mind in relation to each other, as he had in mind Adam and Eve in the relation to each other, or Jesus and Mary in relation to each other. And everything that God is doing has a profound meaning. God does not do things by chance, but God put his whole heart, his whole being in every single act and design he makes. So therefore, it's something very significant that we recognize and acknowledge this great gift of our guardian angel, first of all, and then also of the gift of St. Michael, who really defends all humanity, is the one who goes ahead, that with a deep devotion to the angels. And the more we do that, it will not only bring us closer to the angels, it will bring us ultimately closer to the mystery of our Lord's incarnation, to the mystery of the Eucharist, to the mystery of the cross, to the mystery of the Blessed Trinity, and then to the mystery of the Blessed Mother. And therefore, consecration, we were talking about consecration. Consecration brings this day collaboration with the angels to its ultimate development, to its highest development. And again, the glorification and the building up of God's kingdom is always the final goal, the salvation of souls, of this consecration of the angels, that we can work more perfectly with the angels for the upbuilding of God's kingdom in this world and for the salvation of souls.
Amen. We're going to have to leave it right there. Thank you so much, Father Wolfgang, for being with us. Really appreciate it. Go see the movie, St. Michael, Meet the Angel. Thanks again.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Father Wolfgang Seitz, the National Director of Opus Angelorum. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Brave Knights. The early Native Americans had a unique practice of training young braves. On a night of a boy's 13th birthday, after learning hunting, scouting, and fishing skills, he was put to one final test. He was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until then, he'd never been away from the security of the family and the tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken several miles away. When he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of a thick woods. He was terrified. Every time a twig snapped, he visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. After what seemed like an eternity, dawn broke, and the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers, trees, the outline of the path. Then, to his utter astonishment, he beheld the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was his father. He'd been there all night long. Hebrews 13:5, God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you."
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, licensed clinical social worker Kim Morgan will join us to discuss taking care of little ones in the midst of an emergency like a hurricane. And our spiritual director, Father James Kabicki, will take your calls, and we'll continue talking about the angels and archangels on this feast of the archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. Stay with us, America. There's a lot more to come next hour here on Morning Air. on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.